Moment, I'm going to be inviting the children that go to Children's Bible Hour to come down front. So parents, that's a planned thing of today's service. And they're going to be down front for about 5 minutes, and then they go get to hear their own sermon at their level. So, and you get to hear the rest of mine. But we're going to start this morning down this way. They'll come down in front in just a minute. You guys can come on if you'd like, and just come on down. That'll be fine. We got some others in that 3-year-old through 5th grade range. Hey, have a seat. Have a seat. Welcome. I will not pick on you too badly. Just a little bit, okay? Okay. A couple things before we do get started in that. Number one, I was notified last night, a friend of mine that works with Churches of Christ Disaster Relief, that they are working hard in the hurricane-hit areas of North and South Carolina. 10 semi-trucks have already been dispatched to a number of congregations in that area. Others are on the way. Some are having to wait until the roads are passable in order to actually access the flooded areas. So our prayers need to continue to be with those that are suffering in that area. Our congregation helps financially support that organization that does send disaster relief supplies, so thank you for your support in that mission effort. Secondly, we do have local missions that we also support. We have a food pantry, as mentioned earlier today. The food pantry is kind of running bare, and those supplies are used for people right here in Vallejo that have needs. So in order to be able to supply the needs of those right around us, we do need your assistance. So please give us, you can, generously to help support us in that. Back in 1962, a theologian named Karl Barth, maybe you've never heard of him, maybe you have, but he was a very famous theologian in the 20th century. Back in 1962, he came to America, and a reporter asked him, "Dr. Barth, you have written well over 1 million words of theology over your career. How would you summarize what the Lord has taught you through this experience?" He answered in 12 words. None of them are over 2 syllables long. And you know them. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. We're privileged this morning to have a couple of brave young people that came up front here, and I'd like you to come up here. We're going to lead a couple of songs together for the group. Would you mind coming up here with me and just help me? Just sing a little bit. It won't hurt, I promise. Come on. Come on. I think you know it. And would you kind of help them sing along, please? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong. They are weak, that He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the gift of children. Children that bless our lives. Children, Father, that give us hope for the future. Children that truly are from You. Father, we pray for these two that have come up. Pray for Alyssa and for Josh. We pray, Father, You'd bless them. Be with them. And Father, many others that aren't with us today that need to be a part of Children's Bible Hour. And Father, as we dismiss them to that assembly, bless their hearts as we consider those important words of Jesus that we're going to discuss this morning. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Thank you. That wasn't too bad, was it? Okay. All right. Y'all are dismissed. I could not sing on, and I couldn't preach on sermon, Jesus Loves Me, without a little something of that nature. We're down in our Children's Bible Hour today, but I'm glad that we had two worthy helpers to come up here to help me in that presentation. The text I'm going to be sharing is Mark chapter 10. Stephen read it earlier. People were bringing little children to Jesus to have Him touch them. But the disciples rebuked them. And when Jesus saw this, He was indignant. And He said to them, "Let the little children come to Me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will not enter it. And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. The first century world is different than the 21st century world. Ancient Rome was a man's world. The man was literally king of his castle. And when a child was born, the father would either own the child by raising him up, literally lifting him up, and by so doing, he was saying, I take ownership and responsibility for this child. Or a Roman man could leave that child be. And it was common practice for children to be exposed who were not wanted. A very cruel, cruel death. Thank God our world is not fully that way. There's too much disrespect for human life as there is. But praise God, we're not quite where the Romans were. Thankfully, the Jewish children of the first century had a little higher value than the Roman children did. Because although the Roman children had low status and could only be raised up by the father's wish, Jewish children were born into this world recognizing that they were a gift of God. And the ancient Jews benefited from a godly worldview. And by the way, anytime we have a godly worldview in our society, it affects in a positive way the moral climate of our society. So the ancient Jews loved their kids. However, that love usually extended about as far as your doorway, because the rest of the children out in the neighborhood were generally ignored. They were not put in a high place of honor. And we clearly see this in Mark chapter 10, because the disciples are working out of the worldview of their culture, the Jewish society, the first century world. And when little children come to Jesus, they start saying, no, 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 no. And those who are bringing children to Jesus to have them blessed by him, no, 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 no. Jesus is too busy for that. Jesus is too important for that. Jesus has other work to do. Get the kids away. Jesus has got a ministry to do. Get the kids away. Well, rather than being an interruption of his ministry, Jesus wanted everyone to know that children were indeed a part of his ministry. And we see that because Jesus got angry. He got indignant. There are not too many times in Scripture you find that Jesus got angry. We usually get angry when we feel disrespected. Maybe we're not listened to. We feel like our rights have been violated in some way. We feel like someone's taken advantage of us or cheated us. That's when we get angry. We get upset. Jesus had plenty of reasons to be disrespected. I mean, he was disrespected, not plenty of reasons for people to disrespect him, but he was disrespected by many people many times. He did not get angry over that. What did Jesus get angry over? Jesus got angry that little children were kept from him. Jesus got angry that those little children were not respected enough that they could have access to him. That's what caused his indignation. The disciples were trying to keep the little children away. And Jesus was indignant. He was angry. Now, there's plenty of injustice in the world, yet the divine Son of God got angry when God's temple was violated and turned into a market. And Jesus got angry when little children were kept away from him. Which raises a question. What flares my anger? Where's my irk come from? When do I become indignant? Too often it's because I feel like I've been disrespected. My rights have not been respected. My person has not been respected in some way. But like it or not, anger tells us what we value. And sometimes that's embarrassing because that anger comes to my life in times and I go, oh. And you really check under the hood and you begin to go, why am I angry? I feel disrespected or cheated, or I feel in some way things have not gone as I felt like they should. And that has revealed my values. Jesus' anger revealed his values. That God should be honored and little children should be welcomed. Those were the values of Jesus. We also see in this story another lesson for us. Are we following culture like the disciples did, or are we changing culture like Jesus did? When the disciples rebuked those bringing little children to Jesus, they were just following the worldview in which they were raised. Children had no rights. Children were not that important, and Jesus' time shouldn't be wasted on them. And therefore, the disciples thought they were the advance man. They were the front. They were the protection. They were the security guard, whatever you want to call it. Let's keep the kids away from Jesus. They were only acting out what their culture had taught them. The kids were to be seen but not heard. The children had no inherent value. And it's very easy for me to mindlessly follow what culture dictates as right and wrong instead of what God dictates as right and wrong. When the disciples were uncritically reflecting the values of their culture, Jesus steadfastly lived the values of his Father. Jesus teaches us how to change the culture in this little short story. Number one, Jesus taught disciples differently. He took them aside and taught them. He said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." Jesus turned this moment into a teachable moment and said, "Disciples, apostles, listen up here, guys. The world says this, but we say that." Jesus used this as a defining, teachable moment. Jesus taught diligently his disciples a different worldview than the world had taught them about children. But Jesus didn't just teach differently, Jesus acted differently. What did Jesus do? He took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and he blessed them. That's what Jesus did. Jesus taught his disciples, we're going to be different than culture. Children matter around here. But Jesus also showed it by touching, by inviting, by caring, by loving those children. So the question becomes, am I more like the disciples, just reflecting the values of my culture uncritically without thinking? I'm just upholding the cultural mores that I've found myself in? Or am I like Jesus saying, I may not be able to affect everyone, but I can affect these people, and I'm going to teach diligently, and I'm going to act differently because God has called me to do that way. As Christians, it's high time we quit uncritically accepting the values of our culture and learn to follow God and not just man. It's time for righteousness and not just convenience in our hearts. It's a time for conviction and not just comfort. The disciples followed culture. Jesus changed culture, starting with his own 12 apostles. We also see in this story, Jesus says, we've got to become like children. Listen to what he says in verse 15. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. You know, whenever Jesus says, you'll never enter the kingdom unless you do it this way, it's time for me to listen up, right? When Jesus says, you can't enter the kingdom without this, I'm going to go, okay, I want to be in the kingdom. I better pay attention to that. Jesus says, anyone will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will not enter it. Whenever Jesus says, I tell you the truth, he's highlighting a statement. If you were in school, the teacher would say, this will be on the test. This is one of those points you do not want to miss. This is important. Pay attention. This matters. I tell you the truth is not a way of saying I've told you lies other times. He's saying this is so critically true that you best pay attention to it because this is important in your life. Anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it. So what was that important about receiving the kingdom of God like a little child? Or as Matthew says in his version, chapter 18, I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you'll never enter the kingdom of God. What did Jesus mean by receiving the kingdom like a child or entering the kingdom like a child? Now, there are many admirable qualities about children, but what fits the context? I believe Jesus had in mind the humble status of children. Remember, children didn't have a lot of status in the first century world, even in Jewish culture. They were kind of be seen but not heard, didn't mess with adult affairs, adults didn't mess with them, except in the immediate family. Jesus is saying, unless we adopt the humble status of a child, that we have no rights of our own, we're simply there to be with Daddy. We're simply to be in our Father's arms. Until we adapt that viewpoint that we're humble and we're just part of who we are underneath our Father because our Father has chosen to lift us up as His child, until we accept that humility, we're not prepared to enter the kingdom. We're the needy ones. We have no status on our own. We do have not any right on our own to become children of God. In fact, Jesus said it this way in John chapter 1, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Now, you and I are all children of God by creation, right? We're talking about being children of God by recreation, by being in the kingdom, by being adopted by the Heavenly Father as His child, being a Christian. We're the needy ones. But praise God, He has lifted us up. Praise God that He has taken up our cause. Praise God that He has seen in our humility and our helplessness. And He's chosen to own us if we will but choose Him. God is too kind to force us into His family, but He does invite us into Him. He gives us the right to become children of God, Jesus said in John chapter 1, verse 12. We also realize that God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were yet sinners, what did Jesus do? He died for us, didn't He? So to become a Christian, to become part of the kingdom of God, we have to recognize our own neediness, our own humility, the fact that we have nothing to offer life in ourselves apart from the fact that we've been created by God and for Him. There was a mom who was trying to have a discussion with a 10-year-old daughter about the importance of living like Jesus. And the 10-year-old was kind of quick on her feet and said, well, Mom, we learned in Sunday school something that's just like this. If you're going to be a Christian, if you take Christ out of Christian, you're left with three letters. I-A-N. And that means I ain't nothing. And she had it on the nail on the head. Because without Christ, we are nothing. We don't come to Christ to become a Christian by bragging, Lord, I've got a lot to offer You. We come to Christ like a child saying, Lord, I have nothing to offer You but this my humble heart, and I want to be Yours. I want to be in You. I want to be saved. I want to be in Jesus. I want to go to heaven. I want Your life for me, Lord. We have no status on our own. We have status because our Father has picked us up. We are His. We're His child. I tell you the truth, no one will receive the kingdom of God let me see it one more time. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. We must enter with humility, recognizing it's our Father who gives us worth. We also see in our text how Jesus honored children. I alluded to it briefly before. How did He show that children mattered to Him? Well, He took His children in His arms, put His hands on them. He blessed them, according to verse 16 of our text. And Jesus did these things to honor children, to show that they mattered. Number one, He put the children in His arms. He got close to them. He didn't hold them away like the disciples wanted Him to. He said, come on, kids. He got close to them. He reached out to the children and included them in His space. And furthermore, He touched them. The power of touch is amazing. Touch communicates love and acceptance and value. Now, I'm a guy and I'm not highly touchy-feely, okay? But I do realize the power of touch. A handshake or an appropriate hug, a touch of the arm, a hand on the shoulder. Those things communicate in our world. And they communicated to children. And Jesus communicated to children by touching them, as well as wanting them close to Him. Thirdly, He blessed them. He blessed them. What does it mean to bless someone? We've lost that concept in our world, I'm afraid. It means to wish the best for them, particularly to wish God's blessing on them in their life. And to bless someone is to speak to them words of faith, words of hope, words of love, words of affirmation and belief in them and belief in God's future for them. And that's how Jesus honored children. And Jesus demonstrated to disciples and those who surrounded him not only that children mattered, but how to honor children and how to show that they mattered. Brothers and sisters, let's learn from our Master. I have a little something here on the pulpit. Some of you may have been seeing that blue thing and wondering, what in the world is that? This is a little plaque that sits on my shelf in my office. It was given to me by a young girl at a church I served in Washington, and I'll share it with you. It's handwritten in an elementary school's age child's handwriting. It says, "I like Brother Mark because he is nice. He's a very neat guy. He's a very neat guy to talk to. I like that he calls the church a family. Brother Mark is a good preacher." Signed, Joey. I haven't made a connection with every child in every church I've ever served. I know that. But I think I made a connection for her. And that's the way life is. Maybe we don't get everybody's heart connected to ours, but we connect as much as we can. I haven't succeeded with every child, but I think I succeeded with that one. Know this, the ones that you have worked with, the ones that you have loved, the lives you have touched, the kids you've taught in Sunday school, they know that you succeeded with them. I was at my mom's funeral. It's been about 15 years ago now. And I saw people there at the funeral service that I hadn't seen in years, including a number of my old Sunday school class teachers. And there was Sister Muchmore, Brother Duncan, and a host of others at that service. And I hadn't seen them in years. They hadn't seen me in a number of years either. And the tears flowed, but their tears flowed not just because my mom had passed in sorrow over that. Their tears flowed because I wouldn't... Brother Duncan, I remember when you had us memorize 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. And I can still say it. And Sister Muchmore says, "I hear you're preaching now. I'm so proud of you, Mark." She was really surprised too, by the way. The point I'm making is, you never know whose lives you touch. And you won't touch everybody's. I know that. We can't touch millions of people. But we can touch a few. And the few that you touch make a difference. And those few make a difference to honor God. May we never outgrow the simple truth that we and our children sing. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. We matter because we belong to the Lord. We're His by creation, and if you're a Christian, you're His by recreation. He wants you to be a part of the family. He loves us. He values us. He cares for us. We're His kids. There's a saying that I've heard, every mother crow thinks their little crow's the blackest. That's my kid. They're my special kid. They're mine. That's good. That's good. And that's the way the Heavenly Father looks at each of us. He looks at you and He puts His arm on you and says, "He died. Jesus died for you. I created you. And now you've accepted Jesus and you're my special kid by recreation." And someday He's going to welcome you to a great family reunion. A family reunion that spans the centuries. A family reunion of all those who have owned Him, who are in Christ, all of those who are in heaven because of the blood of Jesus. And what a grand time that will be. If you're not yet a Christian, don't you want to be a part of that reunion? The Lord has given His Son. His blood has been shed that we can be His. And we want you to be His by salvation, not just by creation. We want you to give yourself to Jesus. We want you to be God's child, His special child. And remember, He's already given us the blood of Jesus to show how much He wants us as His. He just waits for you to say, I want to be adopted, Dad. I want to be adopted into the family. I want to be a part of you. I want to be a part of the family. Won't you obey His gospel through your faith in Christ, repentance of your sin, being baptized into Him for the forgiveness of your sins? Answer His call. Do God's will. If you're not God's child, become His child this morning. Let's stand together and let's sing.